Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Estate Right Now. We're talking about real estate matters that matter to you. My name is Jay Izzo, and we are live here from Linda Craft Team Studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina, part of the Research Triangle Park. And today's show, we're going to do more myths. It just seems to be a popular thing to do, is let's bust some myths. And we have 11 myths about what people believe, sellers and buyers, in today's housing market. Now, who's going to help me bust these myths? Well, it is Kim Crump, listing and buyer expert specialist here with Linda Craft Team Realtors. It's glad to have you back. We have not seen your lovely face in a long time.
It has been a while.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. So it's great to have you back.
It's good to be back.
So are we ready to bust some of these myths?
100%.
Okay. Because these are pretty good.
Yes. And they're very real, actually.
Right. And I mean, because you're out there listing, listing homes, and you're also out there with buyers. And so you see both sides of this.
Yes. I see all of these myths we're about to bust. And it's one of those conversations that you're constantly having.
Right.
Constantly having until it's an acceptance level with the seller or the buyer that it's a myth.
Yeah. And so if you're listing a home or you're looking to buy a home, these are really good myths to pay attention to because they're not true. All right. So let's talk about myth number one. Not true. Myth number one. If I'm a seller, I don't need to prepare my home for sale.
It's not needed. Oh, okay. Well, now that is... It is true more than ever that a seller needs to be prepared and have an updated home in the midst of these high interest rates. So, and you will hear me talk a lot about the interest rates today because that has had so much effect on the buyer's purchasing power, their ability to afford any upgrades, if there are upgrades that are needed or necessary. But yes, seller presentation now is more important than ever. We have buyers who are stretching to get a house that once they could comfortably afford with the lower interest rates. And so now buyers aren't as keen to purchase a home which needs a new roof, new windows, a new HVAC system because they're very expensive tickets. Right. And a buyer would prefer to be able to move into a house and have those things ready to go instead of having to come out of pocket for them because they're already coming out of pocket a lot more now than what they were in previous years.
Okay. All right. Myth number one busted. I got to do
Bam. Gone.
Okay. Myth number two. I love that when we do this unscripted, even though we're holding scripts. Myth number two. When it comes to pricing my home, I can name my number no matter what it is.
Of course you can name your number, but do you want to sell your house? Of course, you can name a number. However, reality is time on the market is not your friend, ever. And if you overprice your home because you're thinking in a mental state from last year where you could just put your house on the market and it would sell no matter what, well, those days are gone. So pricing your home is very, very important. And even if you do decide to test the market, some sellers would like to do that. You'll know fairly quickly from the feedback, and you have to listen to the market because the buyers are the ones who ultimately are going to tell you what your house is going to sell for.
Right. Yeah, the buyer determines the price.
That's correct.
Still. In this market.
And you don't want to get anchored in on a price because that will be a very long, painful road. And you'll probably end up losing money.
Right.
Because time, like I said, is not your friend.
Right. Well, and I think probably the other thing is, you know, if when the interest rates do drop and you've held on to this price the whole time, and now what are you going to do?
Well, you're still going to be overpriced.
Yeah, you're going to be well overpriced.
Because buyers are not going to want to pay your price. There is no fantasy buyer out there who is willing to overpay for a property.
Okay. Good. All right. Myth number three, as a seller, I don't have to negotiate.
Really? Okay. Then a buyer will say next house. Okay. When we talk about negotiations, there are so many factors that go into negotiations, and it's not always just the price.
Right.
Because you're also looking at the condition of your property and what kind of repairs that you need. But this is also going back to the fantasy buyer that I just referred to, because a buyer is not going to overpay for the home. They are going to listen to what the market is telling them. And when I say that, I mean, they're out there looking at other homes, not just that one particular house. So they're going from house to house, looking at condition, looking at pricing and value. And if they see that your house is higher priced, not in as great a condition, then it's you're going to have to negotiate.
Okay.
You're going to have to. And sometimes, yeah, you might get really excited because that first weekend you have 10 showings on your property. But if you don't have an offer, something is off.
Got it. Got it. Okay. I don't know if this is necessarily only a seller myth. I think it could be a buyer myth too. Myth number four. Getting insurance or having insurance isn't a problem. Now, I know we know that actually, if people aren't paying attention, we have insurance companies leaving states.
Correct. Yep. Because of all the claims.
Right.
Too many claims.
Right.
And when you are selling your property, you may have had that insurance policy for 10, 15, 20 years.
Right.
And it may not have changed. However, in today's market, now you have an older home. There are going to be things that need to be done, and you need to take into consideration the quotes, the new quotes that the buyers are going to be getting on your home. And in relation to that, how many claims have you actually lodged over the years you've lived into that in that house?
Yeah.
So that is going to affect the cost of an insurance policy. And then with floodplains changing, maybe when you purchased your house, you weren't in a floodplain. Maybe you are now. It doesn't happen very often, but it can. And if that's the case, then the buyer would also have to invest in flood insurance too.
Right, because topography. Well, here's one thing that we know in the state of North Carolina, for instance. You know, we know that because of all the claims due to hurricanes.
Right. And that big storm we had come in a couple of weeks ago, you're looking at a lot of roof claims.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, things have changed. It's not what it used to be.
It's not. And then the other thing that sellers have to realize is if these insurance quotes are higher, it's also going to affect the buyer's debt-to-income ratio, which is going to affect their loan, depending on their financing.
That's really good.
So there's not just the insurance policy as far as the claims and your cost, but the relation it has to the buyers.
Yeah, that's really good. Really, really good. Good point there. All right, let's go to seller myth number five. I'm a seller. Look, it's a low inventory. There's no competition.
Really? There's still competition out there.
Okay.
There definitely still is competition, but it of course it depends on your location,
right?
Your schools, your school districts as well, but you still need to position your house in the right price point according to your condition, because once again, as I mentioned before, buyers are not just looking at your house.
Right.
They're also looking at other homes to see, okay, comparatively, where does your home stand in the market? Okay. And just because it's low inventory doesn't mean a buyer is going to overpay for your house. Because you've got to remember, it still has to appraise.
Okay.
And we get those numbers from past sales.
Right, we do. All right, before we move on to myth number six, we got a question here from Denise Neuheimer. What kind of time requirement do insurance companies need to give if they will be leaving the state or not insuring you anymore? Well, Denise, let me just say this. First of all, we're not insurance people, so I don't know that there's any legal law that I can state to help you do that. But I will say this. Check with your insurance company, your local insurance agent. Stay on top of the news. Clearly, we're seeing a lot of news. I don't know that there's any warning that I have seen that they have to give. Maybe something great to check with the your state. I don't know if you live in a state in North Carolina, but we have a North Carolina State Commission for Real Estate. There's a North Carolina State Insurance Commission, and you can check with your local insurance commission of your state to find out if there is any of those requirements, and that may be very helpful to you. So, Denise lives in North Carolina, so you could check with the North Carolina Insurance Commission and see if they have any guidelines if there's a company that moves out of state and such and so forth. But it's a great question, Denise. Thanks for paying attention and watching, and hopefully we answered your question appropriately. All right, thanks.
Let me say one more thing on insurance. It's come and gone. Actually, I will come right back to it. I was thinking, I thought of something while Denise came in here, but now it's gone. Okay, so let's move on.
All right, let's move on. And by the way, thanks for chiming in, Denise, and you're very welcome. Myth number six, this is a buyer myth. I'm going to wait to buy a home until interest rates come down.
Till interest rates come down. What source do you have that interest rates are coming down?
Well, I mean, we believe that they're going to come down eventually, right?
Right, right. We hope they are going to come down eventually. That is correct. Do we know when?
No.
No. And what's happening in the meantime that you think is happening to the prices?
Well, the prices of homes are going up. They're skyrocketing.
That's correct. So the longer you wait, the more you're going to pay.
Yeah, the more expensive the home is that you want.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So even though you may be waiting for the prices to come down, and this is what we talked as a team, you may be waiting for those prices, the interest rates to come down.
Right.
If you do,
right,
and then you see the appreciation rate,
right,
you're going to end up losing more money,
right,
because the house that you are wanting to buy has now appreciated another 4 or 5%, yet
or more,
or more. Yes, depending on when you're ready to buy. And with your interest rates, well, you're looking at maybe 1%. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to save $4,000-ish in the life of that year.
Right, right.
Does that make sense?
No, yeah.
Okay. So if you're looking to wait for interest rates to come down, it's contrary, really. Right. Because you're going to end up losing money because you could have a house and you could be gaining appreciation while you're living in that house.
Right.
When the interest rates come down, hey, refinance.
Right. And here's the other thing, right, is that if you're waiting for interest rates to come down, which we believe they will, but if you're waiting, right, and the cost of the house is going up, now you're in competition again with a lot of people.
A lot more buyers
are going to be entering the market. Believing the same thing you're believing.
Yes, and sellers.
Which means that you're going to, if we get into a bidding war, which we do still have occasionally.
We do.
But if you get into a huge bidding war, we're like we were in 21, 22, where we saw 20, 30, 40 people bidding on the same house.
Beginning of 2022.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. End of 2021.
How much do you think you're going to pay then?
Oh, more. A lot more.
Right.
Because you're going to have to go over asking. And if you do go over asking, then you also may have to cover the appraisal gap.
Yeah.
Yes, and come out of pocket for that as well. But, you know, in today's world, there you need to have a very great lender. And we have some very, very good lenders that we could recommend you. And because they may have some financing tools that will work for you. Mm-hmm. And you have to think of all of the different products and loans that are available right now.
Right.
I'm not a lender. However, talk to a professional and see, maybe you don't have to put down as much as what you originally thought you did.
Right.
A lot of this does come with your credit score, your debt to income ratio. And that's about as far as I'll go into the lending world.
Well, but you could talk to Paul Fitz. You could talk to Doug Schoonemaker. You could talk to Chris Coy. You could talk to Michael Martin.
That's right.
There's four great lenders that have been on the show. All of them have been on the show. They're fabulous lenders. And they all have some unique programs. Each one of them is individually, and you can find the best program that's great for you. And they're going to help you. They're awesome.
Exactly. Cause they want to get you into a home.
Right.
And they want to help you just as much as we do.
Right.
And just as much as you want a home, because we believe in home ownership. We love it.
Right. Well, we do believe in it, not just because this is what we do, but we understand that it's the fastest way to build wealth.
Correct.
Yeah.
Fastest way to build wealth. Yes, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Okay, buyer myth number 7. Given the market,
Kim, goodness.
I will only consider off-market properties.
Newsflash on this one.
Okay.
So, yes, I do hear buyers requesting these off-market homes often. Mm-hmm. There is no secret stash of inventory. I hate to tell you.
I know.
I hate to tell you.
But people believe that we're holding on to...
It doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
Newsflash, no. Now, every once in a while, it may pop up within my circle.
Right.
However, it is not this little underground world of markets which are off property.
Yeah.
It's off market, sorry. Off market properties. They're just, sellers are not going to leave money on the table.
Right.
Okay. So when it comes to these off market properties that people are thinking they can lowball, right, or get for an extremely low price.
Right.
Well, who wouldn't want that? We would all love that.
Right.
It doesn't exist.
Right. It doesn't exist.
Yeah. Unless you're looking at a foreclosure which is about to fall down.
Right.
But still, that's not necessarily going to be off market. No. It may be an auction.
It may, yeah, right.
Maybe an auction down at the county.
Right.
That is not on MLS, but once again.
Right.
That's a risk, and that's a property which is distressed.
We are not hiding anything from people.
We are not.
No.
I promise you we're not hiding anything.
Trust me. We're not. Okay. Buyer myth number 8. Oh, Kim, multiple offers aren't really a thing anymore.
Are you saying that because we have high interest rates?
I'm saying that high interest rates. Yes.
Okay. Well, let's think again. let's bust that myth. Okay, I guess is what we're doing. Buyers need to be fully prepared because even in a tough market, the best homes will always sell.
Right.
So, and when I say best homes, I'm talking price, condition, location. Right. You will always have a buyer if your house is in great condition.
Right.
And now when a house is turnkey,
right,
and it's in such high demand because of these interest rates,
right,
as I keep mentioning. But yes, a buyer needs to have their best foot forward. You need to be pre-approved. You need to be as strong as you possibly can to prove to that seller you are the littlest risk to get to closing.
Right, because... Right. I love that. You want to be low risk.
Low risk.
Be a low risk buyer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, take that home with you, people. Be a low risk buyer. That's going to put you in great shape.
Yep.
Okay. Buyer myth number 9. Or did I just do that one?
Oh, no, I didn't. We're not going to do this, Jay. We're just not. Okay. You can mention it, but we're not going to do it.
Okay. Well, but Kim, I can make lowball offers given the current market.
Why?
Well, because, I can make a lowball offer because after all, you just said there was not a lot of buyers in the market. So, I can go ahead and I can make a lowball offer and maybe I can get a house. I can steal a house.
Well, let me tell you where this mentality is coming from.
Okay.
I can make a lowball offer on a home because I can't afford the home that I really want that I used to be able to afford.
Mm.
So now that I can't afford that home, I'm going to lowball them because I have to pay so much money in interest. And that's where it's not the time to throw in lowball offers because your interest rates and prices are higher.
Mm.
Unfortunately, you have to reset that mind because – yes, you can only afford so much house at each interest rate as they increase. But realistically, if you're going to give a low ball offer to a seller,
right,
most of the time they're going to reject you.
Right.
They're either going to reject you, but if they have some form of heart, they may come back at full price.
Mm.
But it's more of, and it always has been, very abrasive to a seller to do a lowball offer.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a tough mindset to gain, especially if you were looking last year when the interest rates are lower and now you're looking at homes and you can't afford what you really wanted before. But that doesn't mean someone's going to take your lowball offer because
There's a point at which, right, where you do this, you work with buyers and sellers all the time. There's a point, right, at which you go, listen, you don't have to necessarily offer asking price, but there comes a point in time when you make an offer that's insulting.
Right. Yes. Right. And that's exactly it. Insulting.
Right.
I mean, you can, as we went back to say, sellers, yes, we do need to negotiate.
Right.
However, if you make a lowball offer, it can go nowhere. It can stall it.
Right.
And then give the opportunity for another buyer to come in and take it right out from underneath you. Because if you give in a lowball offer and another buyer comes along with something a lot more amenable to a seller, they're not going to want to work with you anymore because you've insulted them.
Right.
So they're going to want to start fresh with a new offer where they think this is realistic.
Right.
And they and these buyers are now appreciating their house.
Right.
Versus you coming in with a lowball offer and saying, oh, well, I just don't think it's worth it.
Well, it's just so many other things, doesn't it? I mean, it's like, okay, well, if they're gonna give me this super lowball offer, when it comes to other negotiations, what are they gonna do?
No. A lot of the times they'll say as is.
Right.
I'm not doing a thing. Right. And even though a seller doesn't have to, every house is sold as is in North Carolina. And that's a whole nother segment. Right. But a seller does not have to make any repairs. And if you're going to continue and if you're going to do that and come in with a very low offer to begin with, don't expect the seller to do anything going forward.
Well, the best situation is we're trying to create a win-win.
Right.
For both.
Right.
Right. And we understand, you know, the buyer wants to get the lowest possible price and the seller wants to get the highest possible price, right? And
correct.
But at the same time, we're trying to find a win-win for both.
We're going to find that middle ground.
That we can both agree on, that we can both win on this.
Right.
And so, you know, you can't be low, low, low. All right. So myth number 10, it's very similar, I think, to myth number 5?
Oh, yes. I was going to say this one, the insurance.
Yeah. Because it's a buyer myth. I'll worry about insurance at the last minute. And these are pretty similar to the previous myth, aren't they?
They are. Yes. This is on the flip side, a buyer underestimating the importance of insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, we recommend, of course, you start looking at insurance quotes as soon as you go under contract on that property. Mm-hmm. And then that way they can find the claims or any new facts that they may need to get you your end quote. Oh, and I now remember what I was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
So a lot of homeowners who have lived in their properties for 10, 20 years, they may not have adjusted their home insurance to keep up with appreciation.
Mm.
So you may find that they have a lower, they may be underinsured.
Mm.
And now with these values 20 years later. Mm.
And as fast as they're increasing.
Mm-hmm, as they're increasing. So you're going to need more insurance.
Mm.
And that policy is going to cost you more.
Right. That's good. All right. Last myth here. And we did it.
We did.
You know, Kim, agents, real estate agents don't really do much to sell a house.
Okay. I only work like 40
gazillion hours a week.
Gazillion hours a week. And it's only 7 days a week.
Yeah, right.
And I only answer my phone after business hours.
Yeah, right.
It's what we have one of those jobs where the expectations are very high. Mm-hmm. We are working with people on the biggest investment they can possibly most
likely will make in their lifetime.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes. And what we do is very high expectations. Answer the phone when somebody calls you. Right. Go show a house when someone's standing out in front of the house on a Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
There are, as far as buyers go, and then as far as sellers go, the amount of times if you have a vacant home, how many times do we go make sure that the doors are locked and all the lights are turned off?
Right.
How many times do we address any problems? Mm. Hey, let's say their house has sprung a leak and they're not home, they're on vacation. Well, then we help them take care of those things.
Mm.
And they are the kind of things that people don't think about when they hire a real estate agent.
Oh, open houses, marketing programs, the things that you're doing also.
Oh, marketing is
ongoing all the time.
All of the time. And it's constantly changing.
Right.
Constantly changing. So you have to find that niche for your clients to make sure it gets the most exposure possible.
Well, and then you're looking at, you know, what can we do to make your home look more presentable? What can we do to increase the, you know, first impression? What can we, I mean, it's a lot.
It's a lot. And a lot of it comes with experience.
Right.
over the years. So I've been in real estate since 2007.
Right.
Seen a lot of homes.
Yeah.
And I also work with buyers. So understanding what a buyer is looking for, went into a listing presentation this week, could tell them exactly what they needed to do.
Right.
And well, and there are limitations on what people right. can do because of what they have in their pocket or the equity they have in their home, but it's not readily available.
Mm. Okay. Well, we've done our time.
Wow.
Yeah, we did. We've done our time. Matter of fact, we're a little over. But you know what? If people have other myths, they can actually ask you about them, right?
Absolutely.
So how can they get a hold of you?
Okay. You can reach me directly at kim@lindacraft.com. And you can also reach me via text at 919-605-6045. And of course, social media, all right. social media, just take a look for Kim Crump and book an appointment. Hey, if you want a consultation, a free consultation, whether you're a buyer or a seller, mm-hmm. would love to meet with you and you can come and check out our office. It's beautiful.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for joining us. I just need to mention this, that these 11 myths were inspired by Kara Amir, who is a luxury agent with Coldwell Banker in Orange County, California. Thank you, Kara, for this article, because this has been fantastic. So thank you for the inspiration of doing this. Folks, okay, well, you know what, before we do this, look at this. Denise has got another question. This may be a myth or true, not sure, because I've heard it on the School of YouTube, University of YouTube. We overdone it. I heard that lenders are offering refinancing at a lower interest rate after a year. I don't know that. I'm not.
Well,
that.
That may be an assumption.
Yeah.
Is what I'm thinking is, well, buy a house now, which is going back to what we were talking about before, buy a house now. And then when interest rates drop, then you can refinance.
Right. Yeah.
And that's exactly. Thank you, Paul. Only if rates are lower.
Right.
That was going to be my next point.
If rates are lower, but you can always refinance your house if there's a lower rate, Denise. So if you're planning on doing that. You can always do that later, right? We have the famous phrase is marry the house, date the rate.
That's right.
So you can always do that later on down the road. All right, we good here. All right, well, thank you, Denise and Paul and everybody who joined us and watched the show. We really appreciate you. Listen, you had a lot of choices. You chose us. Thank you very much for doing that with us today. Listen, if you're watching us on YouTube, give us a thumbs up. Anywhere else, you know what? Give us a positive review, a like, anything that you can, and tell people about us, because you know what? We love doing this and we hope we're helping you, and I think we are. You know, as I say to you everywhere, all over the world, you know what that is. Ciao, everybody. It ain't worth living.